You mind your work, and I will mind mine.
Rodrigo Duterte was mayor of Davao City in the southern Philippines for more than 20 years. He was catapulted into the presidency by his ability to convince millions of Filipinos to rally behind him.
Do not destroy
in office, Duterte quickly cemented his role as an autocratic leader. His war on drugs was so violent that rights groups believe at least 30,000 people have been killed in police operations over the last 5 years. Critics say he has used state violence in ways not seen since the martial law period under President Ferdinand Marcos in the 1970s and 80s. Duterte went after oligarchs, but he also jailed activists and members of the opposition and shut down the country's biggest media network. And though he promised that just a whiff of corruption would be enough for him to fire officials, years later, most of those removed from office have yet to face charges.
He had to make deals with established political forces. So with that comes the inability to sincerely push back against institutionalized corruption.
The president also hasn't revealed his own wealth, refusing to release an official statement of assets, liabilities, and net worth, the first president to do so in decades.
When he was mayor, he did not strengthen, he did not need a check and balance because he was a king of Davao City. So he did not need to listen to a co-equal body.
The pandemic and the recession it triggered are perhaps the most challenging issues Duterte has faced. But still, many believe he deserves credit for prioritizing large-scale infrastructure projects. Duterte made no secret of his admiration for Chinese President Xi Jinping. And at first, he was so eager to be in China's good graces that Duterte canceled a defense agreement with the country's strongest ally, the United States, a decision he reversed just a few months ago. As Duterte enters his final days in office, he remains an enigma, one of the most polarizing, but also one of the most popular presidents ever elected in recent Philippine history. Jamela Alindogan, Al Jazeera, Davao City, Southern Philippines.
Well, you saw Richard Haydarian, who in Jamela's report there, he's a political analyst and associate professor at the Polytechnic University of the Philippines, and he's with us now live. Good to have you with us, Richard. Will people in general be sad to see Duterte go? Are they better off now than they were when he came to power?
Are we good, folks? I can hear the studio.
Hi, Richard, can you hear me? Will people be sad to see Duterte go? Are they better off now than when he came to power? Sorry, Richard can't hear me. We'll come back to Richard in just a few moments. Bear with us. Now, tension is running high in the Indian state of Rajasthan after a Hindu man was beheaded on Tuesday. The act was posted online. Police have arrested two people. Al Jazeera's Pavni Mittal reports.
Hundreds of people take part in a funeral procession for Kanhaiya Lal. Surrounded by security officials and TV cameras, they demand justice. His wife, Yashoda, says she wants those responsible held to account.
We want justice. And yes, we want them to be given the death penalty.
Authorities have arrested two men accused of murdering Lal in his tailoring shop. They are alleged to have posted a video online and made threats against Prime Minister Narendra Modi. According to media reports, they're accused of killing Lal for supporting Nupur Sharma, a former spokeswoman of the BJP party who was suspended for making Islamophobic comments. The incident has sparked tensions in Rajasthan state in western India. Protests in the city of Udaipur turned violent and shops were shut down. A curfew was imposed in several cities and internet access was suspended across the state.
Law and order is being maintained. The situation is peaceful. Even after the murder, there have been no major incidents in which anyone has died. The situation is completely under control now.
Police say Lal received many threats for his social media posts and had sought police protection. His wife told local media that he had skipped work for days before his killing. Investigators say they're treating his killing as a case of terrorism. Pavni Mittal, Al Jazeera, New Delhi.
Well, let's go back to Richard Heydarian then in Manila. Richard, will people in general be sad to see Duterte go? Are they better off now than they were when he came to power?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, if you look at it quantitatively, meaning the popularity ratings of Duterte, he's going out as the most popular Filipino president, if not one of the most popular leaders ever. I mean, close to 80% approval rating. So that means vast majority of Filipinos seem to be satisfied with him. At the same time, you know, I think a lot of Filipinos are also recognizing the fact that the country is not necessarily in a good place. You had 2 years of pandemic, 5 quarters of recession. And the thing with Duterte really is that he's a master of performative populism. He knows how to entertain people. He knows how to inspire people or instill fear. But the reality is, if you look at Duterte's presidency, yes, there have been some gains in terms of peace process in Mindanao, some infrastructure development, some sort of pushing for independence from the United States. But overall, his presidency has been a bonfire of institutions. He has been very good in undermining democratic institutions or liberalism in the Philippines, but he has not been a very effective statesman in terms of creating a new order or a new constitutional order altogether.
I wanted to ask you more about that. You mentioned that the state of the country and whether after 6 years of Duterte it is actually better off in terms of its wealth, the rule of law, and as you mentioned there, that the state of its institutions.
Right. I mean, in terms of the economy, of course, Duterte can make an excuse that, well, you had the pandemic, it's not my fault. But the reality is that the Philippine economy could have done way better had it been under much more effective leadership. I mean, the Philippines had close to 10% GDP contraction in 2020 because of the extended lockdowns and delayed response by the government, while some of our neighbors like Taiwan and Vietnam even had GDP growth in 2020, not to mention China. At the same time, if you look at it when it comes to foreign policy, he asked for more independence from U.S., but at the same time, he was becoming more and more dependent on China, even Russia to a certain point before the invasion of Ukraine. But really, the real problem, the crux of the problem is the rule of law. President Duterte ran on an anti-crime, anti-drug campaign, and yet 6 years into office, we have no evidence whatsoever ever to suggest that he has had a sustained solution to this problem. What we know about are these thousands of extrajudicial killings or allegations of massive human rights abuse, not to mention shutting down right and left of different independent media outlets and those who have criticized the government and President Duterte throughout the past few years. So the rule of law situation has dramatically deteriorated in the past few years, even as the Philippines was, of course, never perfect. But Duterte has also not shown any clear gain, long-term gain, in terms of the war on drugs. Where are the big fish that he was talking about? Where's the sustained solution to the drug problem, criminality in the country, if you have so many extrajudicial killings and unexplained deaths?
So how do you think history will judge his presidency? I suppose it depends very much upon what comes next.
Definitely. I mean, Duterte is the best thing that has happened to the Marcoses. Soon, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. will become the president of the Philippines, next president of the Philippines. And I think a huge part of that is because Duterte. Because one of the big things that Duterte did was to complete the rehabilitation of the Marcoses. And when his daughter, Sara Duterte, the incoming vice president, teamed up with Ferdinand Marcos Jr., it became an unbeatable team for the opposition. So in that sense, he's one of his biggest legacies will be the return of the Marcoses. And let's see how people were going to judge the return of the Marcoses. But for the foreseeable future, I expect Duterte to remain a popular leader for a lot of Filipinos who just wanted something different after decades of dysfunctional politics and half-hearted liberal reforms.
Always good to talk to you, Richard. Many thanks indeed. Richard Heydarian there in Manila.